The subject of tonight is non-rhythmic, how you take the rhythm out of what you're doing. And certainly it's an area that I would say most of us have some challenges with. And so what I thought I would do initially is kind of play a continuum. I'm not going to do a whole piece, but a continuum of what it is and what it's not. Some of the common ways that we hear that students get stuck. And I'm thinking that after that, what I'm going to do is talk about some really simple approaches, some suggestions, and there will be time for questions and answers, and then more demonstration if we want to go that route. And since we have both harpists and Melanie only instruments on here, I will definitely be spending some time on what you do in melody only, and in fact that's one of the ways to get at non-rhythmic without being confused with all the left-hand stuff. So I'm going to play some examples of what it's not, and what I'd like you to do is, you know, listen and kind of determine what you think of it. In fact, I'm going to start with what it should sound more like, because that will give you a measure, because I'm going to back into some things that it's not, that will make it sound not flowing, maybe even rhythmic when you don't intend it to be rhythmic. So I'm going to do this based on the stars counting down, and then the variations on that. Values on a relative basis in the same way it would be in the melody. I'm going to do another way of doing it. I think there are several metaphors that are useful to think about. One is the ocean. Waves come in strongly and quickly in the ocean, and then they go out slowly and gently. And the weight action is not all in the same rhythm. There's an ebb and a flow. So ebb and flow is one of the things that's helpful to keep in mind. Breathing in natural places, like at the end of phrases, either starting deliberately out on a note in a phrase, sometimes slowing down at the end of a phrase, and really being deliberate to the close of the phrase can be very helpful. But the ebb and the flow, I think, is what you want to be aiming at. And one of the easiest ways to get it ebb and flow, get that feel for it, is to get away from any kind of a tune. So if I do just a plain scale, one note at a time, I can do it. So that certainly is very rhythmic and pretty boring. So I can do the same scale. One of the things, while you're on mute, that I'd like you to just try is, whether it's a scale or an arpeggio, just try doing that in a very free manner. And then when we're done, I'm going to take you off mute and see what comments there are at this point. Okay, I'm going to take you off mute at this point. So if you're playing, please stop playing if you come off mute. Okay, does anyone have a comment or question at this point? I'm going to take that to be no. Is that someone coming off mute? Okay, I'm going to put you back on mute. And I thought it would be interesting to play with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, because we all can pick that out. And I'm just going to play the melody and kind of play around with it and talk about what I'm doing with it. So the melody thank you. if I'm just playing with a melody and I just all I do is put in pauses between phrases. That you would want to play anyway. So if I thirds. take you off mute and see what...
Dee, this is Linda.
Okay.
Since there haven't been any other responses, and I guess maybe some people may think that they're talking and they're still on mute on their own end, but that your last comment about the easiest way to develop non-rhythmic is to work without an actual tune and just do arpeggios or scales or something like that, I would just add on to that, and that is to work in the modes, in the simple modes, like Dorian or Aeolian. It just seems to work really, really well to do that for non-rhythmic.
And Linda, how specifically within the modes?
Well, let's see. I don't know if I understand your question on that, but I'll go with this. So, for instance, you choose the Dorian mode, and so you take the 1-5 in the left hand in the bass for in the harmony, and just sort of droning on that, but not keeping a regular rhythm. Occasionally just doing one note, or maybe you'll do them both consecutively quickly and then just pause there while you're working in the right hand, and just randomly playing within that D and A range, either D, E, F, G, or A, and just randomly noodling, if you will, within that range. I find that incredibly rewarding to do it that way, and that's sort of what got me excited about improv.
Okay, and
did I answer your question?
Say that again.
I said, did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. And okay. We have people on the phone who don't have a left hand to work with.
Right.
So I'm going to break that down. And
okay.
You know, one of the things that non-rhythmic lends itself to is improvisation. But improvisation is not the focus of the call. So I just want to make sure that people have options around that. But I think working with a mode, if I were to do my scale. That would be a modal scale, and that certainly will change the tonality of what you're getting. And what Linda has suggested, if you're working with two hands, is in the bass, you're really focused on a 1 and a 5. And in the right hand, I'm in Dorian, so my 1 and 5 is B and A. And I'll see tuning. So in my right hand, I'm going to just pause or land or anchor on any 1-5. And I can do scales, I can do thirds, I can do anything in the right hand. Thank you. when you're in Dorian, and it's true with other modes, but particularly in Dorian, you can do almost any combination of notes, and as long as you keep coming back to the A and the D in the right hand, it works. So it's a really fun thing to play with. Well, I'm wondering if there are people who are trying to talk who can't.
Hi, Dee.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Beth.
Oh, good. It is possible for someone to talk. Thank you.
Sure. I also want to ask a quick question. Two questions. One, were you varying the rhythm of the left hand? I couldn't really hear it that clearly in that last example. It sounded like you were kind of like varying the rhythm and not keeping super steady with the left hand.
That's accurate.
Okay. And then the other thing is, because I wasn't super, the clarity of the first couple examples, I wasn't quite getting what not to do. Is it just don't leave those big gaps? Like, because
what you're doing is taking a phrase and then just arbitrarily stopping at the end of it. Plus really slowing down the rhythm. Like, the start counting down. And that, those are the relative rhythms. So if you slow it down and you eliminate those, so that will make it sound really stilted, is to take out those, when you take out differences,
yeah,
then it just, it sounds stilted. No other description for it. And sometimes we think that not all non-rhythmic is really, really slow. But non-rhythmic, yes, it very often is a slower tempo, but it doesn't have to be. If you were using non-rhythmic with an agitated patient, you might be upping the tempo initially to match kind of where that patient is in temperament and then back down from it. But non-rhythmic definitely doesn't mean go slow and take out all the relative don't values. You get to have some movement in it. And with non-rhythmic, you should be able to dance around the room, just flow with it. And when you, if you're pausing at the end of a phrase, you don't come through to the end of the phrase in exact rhythm and then pause. You how sort of retard in at the end of the phrase.
Yeah.
To breathe. Make it a part of you. Not some arbitrary count to seven. Now count to nine. I did that one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Other questions?
Hi, this is Dee.
Yes.
I noticed you're using some dynamics, some loud and then soft to go with the ebbing and flowing.
And that will add interest as well.
Uh-huh.
And obviously you have to moderate your dynamics. You can't be going really, really loud.
You wake them up.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Judy.
Hi,
this is what works for me. I found that when I'm in my usual mode, it's hard for me to get into my usual pace. It's hard for me to get into non-rhythmic because I'm full of rhythm. And so for me to get to non-rhythmic, I have to almost change my focus and remember that there's no place to get to. Really slow down and focus on the resonance of the strings and be very much in the moment. It's almost a meditation. And I love playing with arpeggios. And really, the sense of waves in the ocean is very helpful for me, and I just breathe with it, and that helps me get to break out of any kind of heart rate or any kind of normal rhythm that I just kind of have with me all the time. That seems to work. It's almost a different mental place that seems to work for me.
That's a great suggestion. Other questions or comments? Or something you were hoping that you'd find out?
Hi, it's Betsy. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to say that I played non-rhythmically a fair amount because I do so much hospice, and I've never been able to successfully do it while playing an actual tune, and this concept of repeating notes is kind of a revelation to me. So I'm going to go off and practice that. Thank you for that. Because sometimes the improvisation and the modes are not there for me when I need them. So it would be nice to have a little fallback when I get in that situation.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's actually a fairly recent discovery of mine that I just accidentally ran into. And when you're, you know, as you're moving into even improvisation, of course that you're changing a piece, so it's a little bit of improvisation. But I know that when I start adding lots of notes and kind of wandering off the tune, I lose my place. And because there's no place to go, it probably doesn't matter. But when I stick with repeating notes, I don't have that same difficulty with keeping track of where I am. I just draw things out. And then I periodically, instead of doing a... I send out some type of chord progression. So that it fits in. I think as you start repeating notes and slow down where you're going to, it just lends itself to that kind of variation. Anybody else?
Hi, Dee. It's Rick Moore here.
Hi, Rick.
If you have an agitated patient, as you mentioned, and you're playing non-rhythmically, how would you know what tempo to aim at, kind of? I know it's got to be non-rhythmic, but, where are you, what do you take your cues from there?
Well, you could be looking at breathing. They are moving their hands, playing with the bedclothes. Those are, the two strongest cues. And you're it's not a fine science, and I don't think you have to worry about massing exactly. But if you come into an agitated patient who's, pretty revved up, and you come in at 58, you're so far out of whack with where they are that it'll be difficult for them to entrain with you. So if you're looking at indications of where their energy is, and those physical indications of are they moving around, are they thrashing, is their head going side to side, are they really playing with their bedclothes, are they breathing fast, those would all be indications of what the general pace would be. And then as they're with you, then you can relax that pace and draw them down. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, for sure, yeah. No. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Dee, this is Linda. I have a couple of questions. Oh, I should check. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Okay. a couple of questions that have come up about... I would know that they're agitated if they were on, if they had monitors on, you know, heart rate monitors or breathing or O2 saturation levels were showing up on the monitors. And I said, well, a lot of times they may not be on monitors, heart rates, and that sort of thing. And one of the things I found with an agitated patient that I had, besides the, you know, rustling with their hands on the bedclothes and twitching their feet, is that their eye movements are a big giveaway as well. And I just thought I'd throw that out there. I think the eye movements tell an awful lot.
I think that's a really good point.
I've got Wendy.
Okay.
This is Beth in San Diego. I don't like the sound as much, and I know I could just improv, but I'm not that good at that, so it helps me to have a little bit of structure. So I don't know if anybody else has songs that they just do the chords to that they really like. Just throwing that out there in case anybody does.
Hi, Beth. I like to use the Canon in D, Pachelbel's Canon in D chord progression, but I play it in C.
Oh, I use that in D, actually, yeah. So I use that one.
That's excellent.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, those are the only ones I do. I just do the root chords, too. I don't even get fancy. Thank you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of down chords.
Ooh, cool. Okay, I'll try it.
And you know, remember that when you're doing that, just because in the chord pattern that you're copying, they only use the A once and move before they move to the F, you can stay on the A as long as you want to.
Yeah. Awesome. What key do you play that in?
Fast time again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a C tuning. It's A minor.
That's all right.
It's play Aeolian.
Yeah.
And Greensleeves is in that same family.
Maybe it's like Aeolian.
Yeah, when I'm playing when I'm playing Greensleeves and I go to part B, I would say 50% of the time I find myself in Star County Down before I wake up and say, oh, that wasn't where I was going.
Right, okay.
And it doesn't matter. They just go together.
Hey, it's Rick here again.
Yeah.
I'm a guitar player, but Moon Dance is kind of a hypnotic tune. And, you know, if you played in A minor, then your second chord is B minor. Just back and forth. From A minor to B minor, that sounds pretty good too. If you're looking for one of those kind of chord progressions,
yeah. If you're getting away from tune that's just looking at chord progressions, going from C to A, C to A, C to A to F to G. Actually, D to G is really nice, too. And usually, if you were doing like a G and a D, and that's your main rocking back and forth, you could throw in an F.
It adds a flavor.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Rick. Anyone else?
Hi, it's Dee again.
Yeah.
I have a concern. I'm not sure it fits in the topic, but I have a concern, and maybe you can help.
I've attended a couple of workshops called Music Care, and it involves room 217 tapes to use with hospice patients. Our VON has been promoting this. I'm with a different hospice group. And they've had a music therapist doing the sessions. And it all sounds like, you know, play familiar music and get people involved. And I thought, this is not what we're doing. But, you know, he's the one with the degree, et cetera. I'd just like to throw some caution with our group, my hospice group, as far as, you know, taking everything 100%. Any comments there?
Well, you know, I think that the objective of music therapists is very, very different than therapeutic musicians.
It sure seems to be. Why?
Yeah, music therapists are in relationship. Part of the deal is to be in relationship with their patient. You know, to do an assessment, to do a treatment plan, to do evaluations. And it's totally appropriate for, you know, lots of those situations to be using tunes. And therapeutic music at the bedside, very often what we're trying to do is relax someone and relax them away from their body. And when you play a familiar tune, you draw them back in.
Well, that's what I thought, and I thought this was the non-rhythmic was to help us, you know, let them release too.
That's right. It's, you know, it depends on just what the objectives are.
Well, the VON is getting their people ready for a freestanding hospice we're going to have, which we haven't had in the past. So this is what they're promoting big time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're making a bit of a mistake, but I don't want to, you know, make a big wage. However, I did just say it's part of it, but a freestanding hospice isn't going to be seeing people in their jolly times.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, I'll stick with our non-rhythmic and unfamiliar tunes.
Well, and I think it gives you an opportunity to educate.
That's a good way to look at it, yes.
And ultimately, facilities are going to choose the ways that are comfortable for them, but I would not assume that they understand what the options are. And that's part of our job is to make sure, to the best of our ability, that they do understand the options. And then, you know, I think we have to let it go.
Yeah.
They have their own decisions, and they may not make the decision that we would agree with. But our job is, you know, to present options, not antagonistically, just to educate.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh, thank you. Anyone else have a different a question on or off topic?
This is Judy. I would just add on to the last conversation that sometimes in freestanding hospices, there are patients who are alert and want to interact. So maybe you could introduce another or extend what they're able to provide by talking about not interacting and just playing music as a soundscape, as an addition instead of an instead of.
That's a great comment. Anything else?
This is Betsy, and on. Can you hear me, first of all?
Yes. Yep.
On that same topic, I have one county home that I work in. As I work there specifically as part of the hospice program, but they also have music therapists. And basically, what's happened is when they only had the music therapist did their music therapy thing with the hospice patients as well as the regular patients. Now that they have the opportunity to use me for the hospice patients, the music therapists take care of that one population and I take care of the other. And it has worked out really well. So it may be, I mean, I think as Dee kind of implied, it may be the question that they didn't know there was any other option before. And now there is one because you're there. So you might just have to, you know, as Dee said, educate a little bit. And it's been great for me because one of the music therapists plays the harp, and we've gotten to kind of know each other and have some fun and play together, and it's been good for both of us.
Thank you, Dusty. Okay, I'm going to call this call good for the evening. Thank you all for joining, and thank you for the many suggestions.